She never really looked the part. Ever dignified in her press suits and pearls, Constance Baker Motley was one of America's most effective, least known civil rights revolutionaries. Baker Motley happened to start work for the legal division of the NAACP, just as the Jim Crow era in the United States was about to blow wide open. Though she was fresh out of law school, Baker Motley helped write the Supreme Court brief for Brown v. Board of Education. The NAACP was not really prepared for a win. In a unanimous decision in 1954, the Supreme Court ruled that racial segregation in American schools was no longer legal. As Baker Motley said, a revolution had erupted that we had not expected. Baker's biggest effect was psychological. I think that black people view the Supreme Court like the Supreme Court was on our side, that they had decided to end all segregation. We found ourselves stretched pretty thin. Baker Motley would spend the next 20 years keeping up with all the protests, solidifying the social doctrine in court, and springing the principals out of jail. There would be Rosa Parks, the Freedom Riders, the Little Rock Nine, Jason Meredith's admission at Old Miss, and Reverend Martin Luther King, who perpetually needed a lawyer. Baker Motley would become the first black woman ever to argue before the Supreme Court, and she won 9 out of 10 cases she brought before them. In fact, Constance Baker Motley lived a lifetime of firsts. Before the Civil Rights Movement, she'd been the first black woman ever to attend Columbia University Law School. After the NAACP, she became the first black female Manhattan Borough President, then the first ever elected to the New York State Senate. Eventually, she would become the first black woman ever appointed to a federal judgeship by the president himself, Lyndon Johnson. In between, she managed a marriage and son. All these accomplishments sprang from a woman born to a poor, striving West Indian family with 12 kids. As a child, Constance attended integration schools in New Haven, Connecticut. Her first run-in with Jim Crow was being denied access to a public beach at age 15. At the same age, in a black history course, she read a book by Abraham Lincoln, who said that one of the hardest jobs he knew was being a lawyer. That sealed it. Young Constance decided then that an attorney was what she was going to be. Her family would never rise above poverty. Her dad was a chef at the Yale dining clubs. She said the family gratefully survived the Depression on the rich Yale students' table scraps. There was no family money for college, and her mother's aspirations for Constance ended at a hairdresser. Her family had no ambition for her. Her own dreams were laughably dismissed. Constance launched adult life as a housemaid. She moved on to the National Youth Administration. A local businessman happened to hear her giving a community speech one night and offered to pay for her full education. Baker Motley described the good fortune as something like a fairy tale. She put that gift to great use. Her boss and mentor at the NAACP was future Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall. Lady lawyers were hard to find in the late 1940s, and Marshall had an oddball theory that women lawyers were somehow safer in the segregated violent South. So he assigned ever-determined tough Baker Motley everywhere, though her real brilliance and purpose lay in meticulous legal preparation that would hold up in front of even the most racist judge. She never backed down from the rough stuff. In fact, she viewed the integration of Mississippi as the last battle of the Civil War. There was no shortage of indignities surrounding Baker Motley on every trip down south. Some towns in Alabama and Mississippi were so hateful, Baker Motley had to be surrounded by armed guards. She said that Martin Luther King was always on hunger strikes because the food in jails was so horrible. When local women dropped off better meals, it was impossible to see the food for the flies. Thousands of flies, you couldn't believe places like that really existed, and the stench nearly blew me out the back door. Still, she seemed to look past the hardship each time, concentrating on the case. Constance Baker Motley was on vacation when the March on Washington rolled around in August 1963. She was tired and wasn't going to go, but she changed her mind last minute, thinking nobody would show up and she would at least fill a seat. When she arrived, she saw a TV reporter predict a turnout of maybe 2,000, then 4,000, then 10,000 people. Ultimately, 25 times that number filled the Washington Mall to hear Martin Luther King deliver the Eye of a Dream speech. Baker Motley knew there would be no turning back now. People came from everywhere. I realized, my God, this thing has really taken hold. I guess I was just too close to the forest to see the trees. I had no idea that we would have that response. Just plain ordinary people were there, who'd never really done anything like that in their lives. They were just moved by the times. She accurately predicted in 1998 that racism will follow and bewilder us into the next century, and it has. But she was pretty certain that after battling racism for 40 years, Constance Baker Motley had more than done her part, even if she was under-acknowledged and a little before her time. She changed America for anyone born after 1954, and she enjoyed taking some pride in how far she come. I know there are a lot of young black people who view me as kind of a role model, Baker Motley told an interviewer. The interviewer asked, and are you glad about that? Baker Motley replied, of course, and broke into a beaming heart-earned smile.